Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota, Daf Yud Ches. It is Erev Pesach, and I'm dictating this shiur. Now will be the last shiur we have till Chol Hamoed, and we're learning Li'ili Nishmas, a number of people, who some of whose yard sites are today, and some of them the yard sites are on the first days of Pesach and Shabbos. So we're learning today Li'ili Nishmas, Mr. Bernard Silverstein, Miss Claire Hirschbein, Gitti Pollack, Gittel Bas Rafael Mordechai HaKohen, and Li'ili Nishmas Alan R. Grossman, Aaron Rafael Ben Yehuda Leib. All the neshamas that we learn for Shav and Aliyah from all learning. Okay, we pick up the Gemara Yud Ches Amud Aleph with the words Boi Rava that are five lines down from the top. At the end of yesterday's shiur, we brought down six statements that Rava had made darshaning various inyanim regarding the erasure and the drinking of the Mei Sota. Now, we asked some questions. Yesterday, Rava paskined. Today, Rava is asking certain questions, all of which will end with a teiku. So, boy, Rava, five lines at the top, Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Rava asked the following shaila. What happens if you had kosav shtei megilos l'shtei sotos? There were two women, unfortunately, accused of being adulterous women, went through the sota process with kinui and stira, and each of them was supposed to have their own mei sota prepared for them, their own cup of water with the dirt put into it and the erasure of the psukim, like we had discussed in yesterday's shir. So Rava said there were two of them together. They wrote the psukim on the cloth and they erased it, but they didn't erase it into two separate cups. They erased them both into the same cup. So does this count? Mahu, is this good? Do we say that this is ksivu lishma bo'inon va'ika? That yes, each one was erased for this specific sota, and therefore we fulfill the idea that the psukim had to be erased specifically for her, albeit it doesn't have to be into a cup that somebody else doesn't also have erased psukim into, and they'll share. Each of them will drink from this cup. There's enough of a shear for both of them, and therefore it's perfectly considered lishma. It has to be erased for her, and that in fact was accomplished. As Rashi points out in Dibramas Lishma, Besefer Liatzmo, Dersiv, the also law Lishma. So it has to be written and erased for her, and it was. And then it was written and erased for the second one, and it was. And they're both in the same cup now. Big deal. That's perfectly good. Or do we say, no, Odilma, Boina Nami Mechika Lishma, that the Mechika has to be specifically for her as well, as Rashi explains in the next Dibramas Mechika Nami, because Lishma Liatzma, it has to be erased specifically and only for her, and not into a larger cup that two women can drink from. She Nikar HaMechika has to be recognizable that the erasure is also for her and only for her. So that question is left unanswered. Then we say, Rava goes, he says, V'imtim Salomar Bo'ino Nami Mechika Lishma, if you go to Paskin. When often we have V'imtim Salomar, it means that is the way we in fact Paskin. So the Gemara and Rava are now saying, let's assume that we Paskin, that in fact you do require the erasure to be specifically for her, and it can't go into a single cup that both of them will drink from. So that you need Nami Mechika Lishma. But what about Mochakon Bishtei Kosos? They erased each one separately for sota number one and sota number two, each of them had erased separately into their own cup, but then they combined the two cups, the chazar, the ervan. Now they put it into one big cup. Again, I doubt that this ever happened, but we're trying to understand the halachic principle behind this. What exactly does it mean that mechika lishma is needed? So ma, what's the halacha? Do we say mechika lishma bo'inam v'ika? That in fact, each one needed not only the writing it for her specifically, but the erasure for her specifically, and then going into a cup for her specifically, and that was accomplished here for both sota number one and sota number two. And the fact that you then mix them together, that doesn't impact or affect the fact that it was mechika lishma. Or do we say, El Dilma, Halav Didor Koshas, you have a Halav Didor Koshas. Bottom line is, they're drinking something that has a mixture of each of theirs erased material in it. So therefore, when sota number one drinks, she's drinking theoretically half of her erased psukim and half of her friend's erased psukim, and the same thing for sota number two, and therefore it's no good. We don't answer that. But we say, V'imtim Siloma, Rava says, let's assume that in fact the halach is, Holav didok koshas, you have a holav didok koshas. We in fact paskin that it's no good. If they were each originally in separate cups and then you mix them together, it's no good because you don't have the full mechiko lishma. But what about if you had in this situation that it was originally erased and into one cup for each of them, then you combined it, but then chazar v'chilkom, then you re-separate it again. Now, obviously, you can't separate it back that 100% that came from cup one goes back into cup one, and 100% of cup two goes back into cup two. It mixed, so you're pouring 50% back into cup one that came from cup one originally, the other 50% came from cup two. But Do we say, Mao, what's the halacha in this situation? Do we say, yesh bereira, that there is this retroactive determination, which I'll explain in a moment. Tosus points out, Dibra Masu Chazar, let's look at that right now. Hi lo dami librera. This is not similar to the braver that we find in Baba Kama in a couple of places. Tosus goes through those details that we normally say retroactive determination is that we retroactively determine what actually occurred. And that this, we say, definitely was 100% cup one. And this was definitely 100% cup two. So that's not what's happening over here. We're using the term braver almost as a borrowed term. And what we're saying over here is, yesh breira, do we say in fact that now it is retroactively determined that this is now lishma, this mechika now is 100% for her. And that's good enough, even though it's actually a mixture of 50-50, but right now she's the only one drinking from this. This is specifically designated for her, and therefore it does accomplish mechika lishma. Or do we say, no, oh, ain't breira, come on, it's not 100% hers. It's 50% hers, 50% from her friends. And even though she's drinking 100% of it, that's not considered mechika lishma. Ein breira. Again, we're not using the term breira in the normal way that we use it. And therefore, that's the question, and the Gemara leaves it with an ibaya de lov shitale, teiku. We don't give an answer. Tosos brings down, at the end of this large Tosos, Chaza v'chilku, and he says, this is about five lines up from the end of that Tosos, he says, Nira, the hachu kom abayale, that the question over here is, mi aminan, lo kopid kro ela mechika min hamegillah shetei nichras leso chamayim shela. That the whole idea of the ksiva and the mechika lishma, according to the Hava, mean here that it's good, is that it had to have been erased for her, written for her, and erased for her. And now abol letoch kos echad ikal meimer kolchada shasya mayim delav dida lav mechika nikeresi. When it's in one cup, it's not recognizable that it's separate for each of them. But chazar v'chilkum, when you then re-separated, harimayim shel kol achas nikarin. This is 100% hers now to drink. The other water is now 100% the other sotis to drink. And in that situation, maybe we would say, miyamrin b'reira v'chule, that this would constitute the mechika lishma. And the Gemara, again, doesn't answer the kasha. Take another question that Rav asks, boy Rava, what about Hishka Bisiv Mahu? If you go and give her to drink via some sort of a straw, Rashi explains Bisiv is some sort of a pipe that's chalul, it's a hollow tube, something like the children drink with Kidera Shatinokos Shosin, like a straw. Now, we then have the words, what about Bishvotheris Mahu? Which essentially is a reiteration of this question. Rashi isn't goris the words Bishvotheris Mahu. And that's what the Tosu Shans points out over here in Dibra Maskul Hishka. So he says the girsa that he has includes the words that our Gemara has. He says, Hishka Besiv, which means she chalula kiderish tinoko shosin begivole kanbus, with some sort of a tube like Rashi had said, but then he says, Yesh Svarim de Garse, some also add, in addition to Basiv, they say, O Bishvoferis, Mahu. And this Shvoferis, this tube, is Kein Klia, like a braid, Shosim Nikovim, Kimin Sal, like a wicker type of a basket, so it's like a tube that's like a wicker tube, the Lav Dome Lishvoferis. And now that's the Gisa that we have, the Tosha Shans at the bottom says, Mitzorich Omar, the lav shofaris mamish komar eladomel shofaris. So again, whether you're goris the word shofaris or not over here, basically you're drinking it through some straw or tube-like structure. Now, this is different than what we have on Pesach. Beautiful in Yonah de Yom Shaila, the Tosis brings down in the Ramas with boy Rava. He says, Leko lemivshat meha, don't try to answer from here, the Gemara that Rava asks in Arbi Pesachim, Karcham Besib, if you swallow the matzah in some sort of a feeding tube. This is different than a feeding tube. A straw is totally outside your body. When the food, the liquid, goes into your mouth, it's touching your mouth. As opposed to the sid that they're talking about in the Gemara in Pesachim, in Arbi Pesachim, you're basically putting a feeding tube-like structure down, and then the matzah goes down in this tube. So they didn't have the regular feeding tubes that we have, but they could create something similar to it. They had some sort of a tube that they put down the back of the throat, and then they poured the matzah down that tube, so it never actually goes into your throat. So the Gemara there has the question, Karcha Misiv, Yidei Matzah Lo Yotza, you're not Yotzi. Alma, Ein Derech Achila B'kach. That's because that's not considered Derech Achila, because there, in the Gemara in Arvi Pesachim, Tosa Matziv HaSiv Bein HaMatzah U'Bein Beis HaBliya. The tube, the feeding tube, is preventing the matzah from coming into contact with the back of your throat, your pharynx, the upper GI tract. And abel hocha, in our case, it's a straw. The lo matzah kum boile has nothing to do with separating the mesota from coming into contact with your throat. So therefore, we're asking here a specific question. If you drink, if the sota drinks the mesota, but not by just taking a cup and drinking it, by using some sort of a straw tube, that is considered derech shti or not. Derech shti b'kach, or ain't derech shti b'kach, and the Gemara concludes with a teiku as well. We don't come to an answer to this question either. So those are the two questions that Rav asked. But we have one more question from Rav Ashi. Boy, Rav Ashi asked, what about the following situation? Nishbichu mehen. The mesota was prepared for one woman with one cup. Everything's done right. The ksiva was lishma, the mechika was lishma. It's in the cup, and then somebody's a klutz, and they spill out half of the mesota. So nishbichu mehen, however, v'nishtayr mehen. But there still is enough left for her to drink. So in that situation, is this the akev or not akev? And the Gemara leaves again with the iboy, the loshitale, teku. The Gemara doesn't answer the question. Normally, when we have these dinim that the Gemara doesn't answer and teku, and it's a din daraisa, we go l'chumra and l'chatchila, none of these would be acceptable. Okay. Gemara says, I'm Rav Zeira, I'm a Rav. Rav Zeira tells his name of Rav. There are two shvuos in the psukim that we discussed in great detail in yesterday's shir from Perek Hey. Psukim Yutes Duchav Beis, which we went through in great detail in yesterday's shir from Parshas Noso, and Rav Zeira says the name of Rab, that there were two shvuos there, Shtei Shvuos Ha'amuros Besota, the two psukim that we brought down, that were the Hishbiah Kohen, the Kohen made the woman swear. So those two shvuos, Ha'amuros Besota, Loba. Why do we have to do it twice? Why were there two shvuos necessary? So Rav Zeira Amar Rav tells us achas kodem shenimcha kol megillah biachas liachas shenimcha, because he says one of the shvuos was taken before they actually erased the megillah, before they wrote it and erased the megillah, and the other one was a shvuah that was after they erased the megillah, and that's why we have to have the shvuah twice. Rava does not like this teretz. Maskev lo Rava. Rava objects to what Rav Zeira Amar Rav said. He says tarvayu kodem shenimcha kol megillah ksivan. Those psukim are found before Pasuk Chav Gimel. Pasuk Chav Gimel says, and they'll go and erase it. So therefore, how can you tell me one of the shvuos is before the erasure, one of the shvuos is after the erasure? It's just not the order of the psukim. So therefore, Rava gives his own teretz. Elo Amar Rava. Rava says, why do we have two shvuos? Because Acha Shvua Sheyeshimo Allah, V'Acha Shvua She'enimo Allah. One of the shvuos has the actual curse in it, and the other shvuah doesn't have the curse in it. The first pasuk just tells us that we're asking the woman to swear that she sinned or didn't sin, right? We're asking her to swear that she didn't sin. And then the second shvuah is that when she sins, then she's going to get this punishment. So there's a shvuah on that. So that's what Rava says. There are two shvuos over here. More questions. Exactly what is do we mean by the shvuah sheyesh imo Allah? The shvuah that has within a curse. Hechi dami, what do you mean shvuah sheyesh imo Allah? What exactly do you mean by saying that one of the shvuahs also is a shvuah and it's also a shvuah on the curse? So we have three answers to this. The first one is from Rav Amram Amar Rav. So Amar Rav Amram Amar Rav, mashbi ani olayich. The Kohen says to her, I'm making a shvuah for you. Shalom nitbeis, that you did not sin. You didn't commit Rechman al-Islam adultery. She has to swear to that. Because she im nitbeis, because if you did, in fact, commit adultery, Rechman al-Islam, yavobich, the waters are going to enter you, and they're going to have the curse come upon you, that your thighs are going to drop, and your belly's going to split open. Rava doesn't like this teretz either. He didn't like the teretz a minute ago from Rav Zeira Amar Rav. He doesn't like this one from Rav Amram Amar Rav. So Amar Rava, Rava says, but that doesn't make sense. Allah l'chuda kaima u'shvua l'chuda kaima. We're explaining over here what is the example of shvua sheyesh ima Allah. The shvua and the Allah go together. And here you just said there's one shvua and there's one that's the Allah. One shvua on did she or did she not sin, and one shvua on the curse. Here we need them both together. So Rava doesn't like this. And therefore Rava says his own teretz. Elohama Rava, Rava says, when the Kohen goes and makes the woman swear, Mashbiani olayich, she'im nitmeis, that if you in fact were committing adultery, yavol bich, the waters will enter you and cause the curse to occur. Rav Ashi doesn't like this teretz. I'm Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, yes, that's a shvua about the Allah, Allah ika, but shvua leka, where's the shvua about the idea that she sinned or didn't sin? This seems to be going just on the curse itself, but not on the woman. So Rav Ashi doesn't like this explanation. So Rav Ashi has his own explanation. And all three of these, to be honest with you, Rav Amram, Rav, Rava, and now Rav Ashi, they're all very similar. They're all very pedantic here on the words. So Rav Ashi says, this is where you have to darshan the words. El Amr Rav Ashi, Mashbiani Olayach, the Kohen makes her swear, number one, Shalo Nitmeis, and then number two, and the im nitmeis yavobich. So here he's saying the critical words the im nitmeis. Before we had said she im nitmeis. Before it was like a condition. Here it's saying both the Allah and the shvua on the woman. So we have the shvua sa Allah as well as the shvua. So here we accomplish both. So Rav Ashi says that the Kohen is making her swear two things here. Number one, that she wasn't matama herself, she didn't commit adultery. And number two, that if in fact she didn't commit adultery, she's swearing that this curse, the water should enter into her body, and Rahman al-Islam caused the curse to occur. Okay, again, some very, very slight differences in their understanding of the words, and we'll go weiter. Next Mishnah. The end pasuk at the end of pasuk of Beis in Perikei Yinoso tells us Almahi Omeres Amen Amen. The Mishnah tells us at the end the Kohen makes her swear and she says Amen Amen. He is the one who actually says the Shvuah and she just responds Amen Amen. Now why the double lashon of Amen? Why twice? Could have said Amen. We got it. So the Mishnah tells us one Amen Amen al ha'olah. One is on the curse and Amen al ha'shvuah and the other one is on the Shvuah itself. And therefore, that's why we have two amens. One is on the curse, and one is on the shvuah. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, "Amen meish zeh, and amen meish ish acher." That the woman, when she says amen, she's testifying essentially. She's swearing that not only did I not sin with the person you're accusing me of committing adultery with, not only meish zeh, am I saying amen, but also I'm saying amen, that I didn't commit adultery with somebody else, who you didn't ask me about kinui and stira with, but I'm also swearing that I didn't have relations with anybody else. And furthermore, the Mishnah continues, she's saying amen shelo satisi arusa unisua. And not only am I stating that I didn't commit adultery with this man now, with the kinui and stira, but I didn't commit adultery with any man, not only while I'm an asua, a fully married woman, but even while I was an arusa to my husband, when she's certainly also to everybody else in the world. She's even also to her own husband. She's essentially swearing that she didn't have relations with anybody during that period of time when she's already halachically first stage of marriage to her husband, albeit she still can't live yet with her husband. Now, the Guri Aryeh asks the question. He says, how can the same word, amen, go and be used for two different drushes? We had a number of drushes already in the Mishnah. So basically, the Guri Aryeh says that the first amen is to include the basic din in the pasuk, that yes, I didn't have relations with that man. And every other possibility is the second amen. When she says amen, amen, so as Rashi tells us in the Dibur HaMaskal Arusa of the Nesua, this is Ayidei Gilgul Shvua. The husband only has the right to make her swear that she didn't have relations with Yankel, the guy he's accusing her of committing adultery with. He did kinui and stira against Yankel. But once he has the halachic right to make her make the shvua, he's allowed to do what we call gilgul shvua. As Rashi continues and says, "Megalgel olel znus shel erisin." He now can say, "And I also want you to swear. Once you have a halachic obligation to swear midaraisa, I also want you to swear that you in fact didn't have relations while you were in arusa. Afal bishalohi but kinoi, even though there was no kinoi at that point in time." And here we see Rashi points out a very interesting point that Gilgul Shua is min haTorah. Gilgul Shua is a real din d'oraisa. Now we turn to Yuchesim and Beis. And the Mishnah continues. It says, Vishomeres Yoav Milchnusa. Not only is the man making his wife make a shvua to answer Amen, Amen. The second Amen, as the Guri Aryeh said, is telling us that she didn't commit adultery with anybody else in the Gilgul Shua. That includes when she was a Shomeres Yovam Uchnusa. That would include for two separate situations. One, let's say that this person who married her now and is accusing her, Rachman Salam, of being an adulteress, so he married her through Yibam. So he is allowed to go and make her say Amen to the part of the Shua that not only did she not commit adultery with him while they're fully married, but even while she was a Shomeres Yavim, she was waiting. The term Shomeres Yavim, Aviv Shomaris Hadavar, he's waiting for it to happen. When Yosef told his father the dreams that they would all come down to bow down to Mitzrayim, so Yaakov Aviv Shomaris Hadavar, so he was waiting for it. Shomeres Yavim is a woman who's waiting to undergo Yibam. So this Shvuah that she's saying Amen to is also that not only while she was a fully married Nesua to this Yavam, but even while she was a Shomaris Yavam, it applies. And certainly while she's a Chnusa, and while she is now a fully married woman to him. Likewise, Amein, Shalonit Meisi, she's saying, Amein, that I didn't become Tameh, that's what the Amein means, the Imnit Meisi, Yavo Bi. Now here it's going on the future. The woman is saying, I say, Amein, that I didn't commit adultery, and she's saying that if I did commit adultery, then the curse of the water should come upon me. So that's what the Amein also applies to. Remeir adds, Remeir Omer, Amein, when she says Amein, Shalom it may say that I didn't commit adultery, Rachman Lutzlan, and Amein, Shalom Atama. And she's likewise saying Amein, that I will not in the future commit adultery, and basically that the curse of the water should apply to me even if I do in the future commit adultery. Now, we'll wait till we get to the Gemara to discuss in more detail. Obviously, this is very problematic because how could she be punished now for something that she hasn't yet done in the future? And in fact, if she's punished right now, she'll never do the thing in the future. The Gemara will discuss all of this. The Mishnah continues and says, Hakol Shavim, everybody agrees, not only Remeir, but the Chacham and the Tanakama, they all agree, Shein Mas Ne'ima, Lo Al Kodim Shetisa Reis, Lo Al Achar Tishis Gorish. Everybody agrees, even Remeir says that we could ask her to take the shvua and say amen on something that will happen in the future, but everybody agrees that we can't ask her to say amen and that the waters will not work to punish her if chas v'shalom she had had an inappropriate relationship with somebody, she had relations with somebody before she was a married woman, before she even had erusin. So again, a penuya is not allowed to have relations, but it's not a chiv that the mayim hamorim would go and attack her for that, even if it was true that she had had relations before they were an arusa, before she was married, even the stage of Averson. And likewise, if her husband divorces her, and then she has relations with somebody else, so then after the divorce, she's a penuya. She's not allowed to have relations with somebody else, but if she does, the water will not go and harm her, even according to Rav Meir, who says that the Amen Shelo Atami in the future applies. It only applies while she's married. And Gemara again will discuss this more in detail. What happens if this woman, after she is divorced, she does closet herself away with this guy, Nistra. So after a divorce, she doesn't drink the mesota. She gets divorced from her husband, and she goes and closets herself away with that guy that she was told not to closet herself away with, Nistra. And she has steer with him, but she's no longer a married woman. And to this person, Nistra Liachod, and then the Nitmes. And in fact, she was Tmei with him. Now, the first husband took her back. Now, this person that she closeted herself away with, she's not had relations with him, but it's not an Isser of Eishes Ish at this point in time. She's a Penuya. And now he's allowed to actually go take her back. The Isser of Machzir Grushas was only if she got married to somebody else, not if she had relations with somebody else. Again, not allowed, not for a second, to think that it's permitted. But assuming she made a terrible mistake and she had relations with somebody outside of marriage, the first husband is still allowed to take her back. That's not an issue of Machzi Grushoso. Again, of course, assuming the first husband was Yisrael, he's a Kohen, of course he can't take her back. In any event, after they got divorced, she, Nebuch, committed an Aveira with someone, but he then decides to remarry. So, lo haya mas nima. Then the Amen doesn't work for that, even according to Rav Meir. And this is the rule, Zach Klau. The Mishnah tells us, Kol Shati Boil, if she would in fact to be with that person and have relations with him, if Lo Haysa Asura Lo, and that wouldn't asur to her husband, then Lo Haya Masna Ima. Then such a relationship that wouldn't have asur to the husband doesn't have the right to go and ask her to make a shvua to say Amen to that forbidden relationship. Okay, a little bit complicated, but now we'll go to the Gemara and try to explain a little bit more. Amar Rav Amnuna, Rav Amnuna says, Shomeris Yavim Shizin Saw, if Rachman Lutzlan, a woman, was her husband died, they had no children, she's waiting for her Yavim to go take her in Yibum marriage, and Nebuch, she goes and sleeps with another man during that period of time. She's Mizana, so Asur Yavama. Rav Amnuna says she's not allowed to go and undergo Yibum, she'll have to undergo Chalitza, but she's not allowed to undergo Yibum. Why not? So Gemara says, Mimai? Because our Mishnah, Midiktani, our Mishnah said, Shomeris Yavim Uchnusa, that if a woman was married now through Yibum, and the husband suspects her, he does kinoy and stira on her, tells her, don't closet yourself with Yanko. So when she says, Amen, that I didn't closet myself away with Yanko, she's not only saying it at this point in time when she's a full kinusa, but this even retroactively goes back to the time that she was a Shomeris Yavam. Now, that works out great. Yamis Mishlomo Asira, if she were to have relations with a person while she was a Shomeris Yavam, then she would be also to the Yavam. So that works out great. Mishum Hochi Masna Bahada. That's why the Amen that she says goes not only on after they're married, but even when she's a Shomeres Shavuot, because that would answer her to the Yavam. And therefore, the Amen, as we said, can in fact work. As the Klal had said, Kol Shiti Boal, V'lo Aysa Asura Lo, then Lo Ya Masnima, the implication is, Kol Shiti Boal, V'Aysa Asura Lo, so then Masnima. So therefore, he can in fact go and make her swear, say Amen, to the fact that she wasn't Mizana while she was a Shomeres Yavam. Works out perfectly well. But if you say Eliyamis Lo Asira, that she's not also to the Yavam, if she has relations with Rachmon son with somebody else while she's waiting to be taken in Yibam, she still is allowed to be taken in Yibam, so then on Mishnah doesn't make any sense. Hechi Masabada. So then how could he go and make her say Amen that she didn't have relations while she was a Shomeres Yavam? Because what not? On Mishnah said, this is the rule, it's not klal. Only in a situation, Kol Shiti Bol, the Lo Tasu Lo Loya Mastima, in a situation where if, in fact, she had had relations, she wouldn't be Asura to him, so then you can't make this Masna. You can't go and say Amen on during that period of time when she was a Shomeres Yavam. So, ergo, it must be that, in fact, the as Rav Hamnuna said, that the Shomeres Yavam is, in fact, Asura, if she was Zinsa, to her Yavam. Oh, that's a good proof. Where it says, Lav Dafka. Amri B'Rav, they said, Eretz Yisrael, less Hilchos like Rav Hamnuna. We don't pass like Rav Hamnuna. Why not? Because this Mishnah is in accord with Rabbi Akiva, and it can't be used as a proof to Rav Hamnuna. Because El Ohad Diktani Shomeres Yavam Uchnusa, it's talking about over here, Hamani, who's our Mishnah going like Rabbi Akiva. This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who says, Yamar in Kedushim Tosin, even B'chai V'Lavin. This is the famous Shita of Rabbi Akiva, that Kedushim aren't Tofes on even a Chai V'Lavin situation. Even if it's only a prohibition, that's not a capital punishment. It's just the Lav, the Araisa, that you can't get married. So then, in this situation, you're not allowed to go and marry her. And if you do, the Kedushin aren't Tosin, according to Rabbi Akiva. We posit that they are Tosin. The Kohen marries a Grusha, so the Kedushin are Tosin. He has to divorce her, but they're considered married. Rabbi Akiva would say, no, the Kedushin aren't Tofes. And therefore, Umash Ve'lo Ki'erva. So when this woman goes against the law of Shomeres Yavam and has relations with another man, so now that man is in fact also to her because of the din of Rabbi Akiva. But it has nothing to do with the fact in our Mishnah that it says that Zaklal Koshitibov, Loy Sasurlo, Lohaya Masnima, you can't bring a Saraya to Rabbi Muna from our Mishnah. But Rabbi Yemiya is the following Shaila. Rabbi Yemiya says, Mahu Shiyasna Adam al Nisum Harishonim. What about a person who says to his wife, listen, we're married now, and I did kinu and stir on you with Yanko, but I also want this shvua, when you're saying Amen now, to also go on the first marriage that you had. When we were married originally, and then I subsequently divorced you, but then I took you back, because Machzik Ushasa for Yisrael is allowed, but now you're doing kinu and stir with Yanko, and I don't want you to have done that, and you did it, so I'm taking you to be a sota, to be checked out by the Mehamarim. So he's saying, I want a Gilgul shvua on Yanko, even when we were married the first time, when the kinyan and stira didn't apply. So Rav Yirmiyah asks, does that work or not? And then he asks the second question, al nisuy achiv mahu. Let's say this was a case of Yibam. He's now married to her because of Yibam, and he's Nebuch doing kinyan and stira on her because he's suspecting that she's closeting herself away with Yankel and committing an Avera, and now she's undergone kinyan and stira, and she's drinking the Mesot, and he wants to say, not only should you be saying Amen that you didn't commit an issa with Yanko while you're married to me, I want you to say that you didn't commit the issa while you're married to my brother, your first husband, my brother, who Nebuch died. So what about that? That's the two questions that Rav Yirmiyah asked over here. So let's bring it right from our Mishnah. Toshma, our Mishnah said, Zakal, this is the rule. Kol Shiti Boal V'lo Se Asura Lo, Lo Yamas Nima. If, in fact, she had committed adultery with that person or committed an aver with that person and wouldn't be asa to the man, to her husband, so then the Amen doesn't go on that. So, ha'asira. But in fact, if she did become asa to him, so then, ha'chanami demasna, then he would be allowed to. Oh, what do you see from here? Shema mina, that in this situation, she would have been asa to her first husband if she had committed adultery. Therefore, the second husband, the Yavam, who married her, can say, yes, I want you to go and say Amen that you didn't commit adultery with me, and you like didn't commit adultery with my brother when you were married to him. This works. And the similar thing would be, if she committed adultery when she was married the first time to her husband, then he divorced her, then he married her again, so then, if in fact she committed adultery then, she would have been answered to him, so too now, he's allowed to go and make the Amen, he can force her to say Amen to both committing adultery with him during this marriage and also during the first marriage before he divorced her. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi had said, Amen, Shalom, dit mesi v'chula. And then he said, Amen, Shalom, ti tama. Rabbi had said, Amen, Shalom, dit mesi, Amen, Shalom, et tama. That I will not, in the future, become a sota. Now, Tanya, we learn the Brisa. Don't think for a second, lo kishoma Rav Meir, amen, shlo et tama. When Rav Meir said that he's allowed to go make her swear that she will not become tama in the future, that means she empty tama, that if she does, in fact, commit adultery in the future, that the mayim bok, you know, so me'achshav, that, so to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to happen in the future, so therefore, he knows she's going to commit adultery 3 years from now, so therefore, when she drinks the water now, that will kill her right now, because that's, first of all, impossible. Because we have a very, very big question. How could she be killed for doing something in the future? Because if you kill her right now, she won't have done that thing in the future. So therefore, don't even think that for a second. We'll ask in a moment, what's the hava meaning to think that you should have thought that? Ella, what it means, according to Rebbe, is Ella, kisha ti tamot. Should she commit adultery, Rahman al-Sam, 2-3 years from now in the future, then the waters that she drinks now, mayim, the mei sota, the mayim hamarim that she drinks right now, will re- come back up. They'll regurgitate up her mouth. Mayim ma'arin osa. They'll come back up from her stomach. They're long gone from a biological point of view, but they'll come back and haunt her, literally and figuratively. Ubokin osa. They will go, in fact, and judge her now. And 2 years from now, when she commits the adultery, that's when the mayim marim that she drinks now, 2 years hence in the future, they will go and kill her. Ubokin osa. But this, again, the obvious question is, what was the Hava meaning to think that we had to say, don't think that? What was the Hava meaning to think that it should be Bodkin Osa Mei Achshav, that it should go and kill her right now? Because, again, it's impossible. She didn't do the Aver yet. So, Tosas Arash gives an answer, and he says, don't think for a second that maybe it won't kill her right now, but she'll start to be Miss Navel, because she will commit the adultery in the future. So she will still commit the adultery in the future, but you might have thought that she'll start to be misnavel. The waters will start having an impact on her right now. So Kamashulam, no, don't think that. That's one teretz. The Minchas Chinuch gives a teretz, and he says that the husband also has to be menuka me'ovon until the woman sins, or else the waters won't work. So therefore, the potential that it won't work is because the husband may have committed an Aveira as well, and therefore the waters will not work for her right now, and therefore that's how she'll live to go and commit the Aveira. At that point in time, the husband has done tshuva, so the waters will work at that point in time. So that's another Havamina. Da'agos, Paras Yosef says as follows, you might have thought that there's a Zuchus that would be Tolala, and therefore you would start the clock from now. We'd said the Zuchus might be Tolala for 3 years. So she's going to commit the Aveira 2 years from now, but we'll start the clock for the 3 years that the Zchus will prevent her from getting hurt from right now. So she'll use up 2 of those years of the Zchus, and that's why you would think she'll still be able to do the Aveira 3 years from now, because the waters will impact on her from right now, but she has a Zchus that prevents it from taking effect, and therefore that's why it won't kill her right now, and she'll still have time to do the Aveira. And then finally, Shar Mitzvah and Bahalacha, he says a different teretz. He says that it's like the din of Ben Sora Mora. Why do we kill a Ben Sora Mora? He hasn't done a capital crime yet. But unfortunately, since he has done these sins already, there's an excellent chance he will do a capital crime, and we actually killed Ben Sora Mora because of what he may do in the future. Better that he should die now than to actually do that Aveira. So to over here, the Shar Mitzvah and Bahalacha says that we might have thought that she should be punished now, just like the Ben Sora Mora is punished before he does the Aveira, so we might have thought that she should be punished now. However, the Shulchan Aruch says we don't, in fact, pass him like that, because the Ben Sora Mora had done several things wrong, whereas this woman, we don't have any evidence he did something wrong other than she closeted herself away with this guy one time, and therefore we wouldn't apply the same rules to the Sota as we do to the Ben Sora Mora. There are other Tirutzim as well, but let's go weiter. By Ravashi has the following shaila: Ma'u shiyast na'adam al nisuim achronim. Can a person go and say, "Now you're married to me, and now I'm accusing you of being a sota, kinui, and stira"? But I want, when you say amen that you didn't commit adultery, I want you to say that should we get divorced and then remarry in the future, you also are going to say that you didn't commit and will not commit adultery in that future marriage as well. So therefore, hashta mia lo asira le. Right now, she is not asa to him. She hasn't committed adultery yet at this point in time. She's not asa to him. she's going to drink the mei marim to see if, in fact, she is an adulteress or not. But assuming that she drinks the water and that it doesn't go and kill her, so then in the future, in that marriage, Rameyah says, he is allowed to go and make her swear she'im titamor, if she will go and commit adultery in the future, he's making the shvuah for that right now. So can this apply not only within this marriage, but can it apply, according to Rameyah, in a future marriage? So hashta milu asirulei, right now she's not asked to him, so maybe in this situation, she wouldn't be prohibited to him in a future marriage with him. Or do we say, no, odilma, zimnim de megarish law. If in fact he were to divorce her and then remarry her, again, if she didn't get married to somebody else, machzir gerushaso is permitted if he's Yisrael. And then she were in fact to commit adultery at that point in time, v'adu ma'adulei, when he takes her back, she did commit adultery, so then she would be also to him then, and therefore, retroactively, she would be also to him right now. That's the question the Rav Ashi asks. Let's see the question inside Rashi. Make him say another chance to say it again in case I didn't say it clearly. That the Rashi, Dira Masal, Al Nisuim Achronim. According to Rav Meir, Li Rav Meir, the Omer Mas Na'alo Osi, the person can make her have to say Amen that she will not commit adultery in that marriage at a future point in time. Ma'u Shiasnimo Begilgul Shvua. Can he go and say through this Gilgul Shvua, Shlo Titame Im Yigarshena Ve Yachzireno Visitmo? Because right now she's not asa to him. But if she were to do that, she would become asa to him then in that marriage. So would that retroactively also work for this marriage as well? That's the question. Tashma, bring a right from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Hakol Shabim. In fact, everybody agreed, even Rav Meir, Shaloya Masnima Loa Kodem Shitisaris, Loa Achar Shitisgarish, that you can't go and say the Amen that she says in the agreement to the Shvua, that she go on before she was married, even the first stage of marriage, Erisin, and it can't go on when she's a Penuya after she were to get divorced. So the condition, the Amen, doesn't go on those periods of time. Now, if in fact, after she is divorced, Nistera, she did closet herself away with that person, Liechod, the Nitmeis, and she became Tommy to him, she was a Penuya. And if her husband were to still go and return her afterwards, Vachach Zirena, Loi Master, he wouldn't be able to go and say that she was altered to him, because technically, even if the wife commits an Aveira, that's not adultery, it's just an Aveira of having, as a Penuya, relations with another man, he is still allowed to marry her. He's allowed to be Machzik Rushaso. So that din is only if, in fact, she wasn't married at the time. Ha yachzirena, but if he already took her back the second time, he was machzir gerushaso, and then she was metame visi tamo. In that situation, then ochanami demaste, then he would be able to go and make the tanai, so to say. He could say that I'm asking you to say amen now that you won't commit adultery in the next marriage that I have with you as well. And in that situation, it would apply. Ah, Shmamina, we can see an answer to Ravashi's question, that you can, in fact, be Masna on a future marriage, because in this situation, she would become Asa to him in that future marriage, so therefore you can be Masna on it right now. You can say that tonight, right now, that you will not become Asa to me, you will not commit adultery, even in a future marriage. Mark continues and says, Tanur Ban will learn the following Braisa. Now here we're going to dash in the words, Zos Toras Hakinoos. This is the law, Zos, which is singular, and Toras HaKinoos means this is the law in regards to the Torah of Kinoos, of seemingly multiple episodes of Sota. So we have a Miut Zos, we have a Ribui Toras HaKinoos, so what does that come to teach us? We'll have three different opinions here. So the Braisa first says, Melamid Sha'isha Shosa V'Shona. According to the Tanakhama, this means that the woman can be accused of being an adulteress more than one time. So Nebuch, in the second year of their marriage, the husband accused her of being an adulteress. She drinks the mesota and she doesn't die. She, in fact, did not commit adultery. 2 years later, he again accuses her of being an adulteress. Is she allowed to go and make her drink the mesota? Is it, well, you can keep on doing it, or no, it's a one-time thing, and he used up his one time. Havdil Elev Havdolos. You have the challenge in professional football, where if you disagree with the referee, the umpire's decision on the field, you can throw out the challenge flag. But there's a limited number of times you can do that. And if you've used up your challenges, you can't challenge again, even though this time you're certain that you're right. So do we say over here that the husband has one opportunity to go and challenge his wife, that he accuses her of being a sota, and if she in fact is not killed, so then that's it. You're not allowed to challenge her again or not. So the Tana Kama tells us, no, Melame, this pasuk teaches us from the fact that it says Toras HaKinaos, it teaches us Sheisha Shosa Vishona, that you can make her drink this year, and if she does the same thing, Kinui and Stira, 2 years later, you can make her drink again and make her drink again. Now, we'll have to explain this a little bit more under what circumstances, but this is the Tana Kama's opinion. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda says, no, you have a miyud over here, zos, which implies she'ena isha shosa vishona, that the woman can't drink more than once. There's only one challenge allowed, and when you have that challenge, that's it. You can't go on and challenge her a second time. But even Rav Yehuda himself agrees, Omer Rav Yehuda, there once was such a maisa v'hei lefonenu nechunya chofer shichin, there once is a person. It's unclear if this is the famous nechunya chofer shichin that we have elsewhere in Shas that was mentioned in the Gemara in Shkolim, that he dug wells and Nebuch, his child, was missing and felt to be drowned, and the opinion was that there's no way that this person would lose his child by a drowning because he had dug wells for all of Klai Yisrael. In any event, it's not clear if this is the same person who lived in the time of Rabbi Akiva or whether this is someone else. And actually, some have the girsa that this is Nechunya, or others have the girsa Nechemya of Shichin, of a certain place, and not Nechunya Chofer Shichin. In any event, whoever this person was, and whoever he was saying this in front of, there once was such a maisa that they testified in front of this Nechunya Chofer Shichin, according to the Gersa that we have. Again, he was a Tana who lived in the time of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who was a contemporary of Rishu ben Zakkai, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who lived much later on. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. In any event, whoever this incident occurred by, he said that in fact such a maisa occurred, Shaisa Shosa Vishona, that a single woman drank twice. And he said, V'kibalnu eduso b'shnei anoshim, we accepted his word, but it was only in regards to if there were two husbands. So in her first marriage, she was able to drink the mesota, and when she remarried at a later point in time to someone, she was also accused, and she drank a second time. But not avalo b'ishecha, but not with a single husband. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have the third opinion, which is the Chacham. We had the Tana Kama, we have Rabbi Yehuda, and we have the Chacham. The third opinion is the Chacham Omrim. Eina isha shosa, the woman is not allowed to drink vishona a second time, and this is true according to the strict opinion of the Chachamim, bein b'ish echad, whether it's dealing with one husband, bein b'shnei anoshim, whether even if she's had two husbands, each of them doesn't have the right to do it, only the first husband who did it, but not the second husband. So we have three opinions over here. So Gemara says, what does the Tana Kama do with the fact that it is a miyut? The Tana Kama said, drink as many times as you want. One husband, two husbands, it seems no difference. Drink as many times as they accuse you. Tanakama, Nami, Hoksiv Zos, what about the Miut Zos? And new, the third opinion, the Chachamim, Rabbanim Basrai, the last opinion of the Chachamim, as opposed to the Tanakama, which is also the Chachamim, Rabbanim Basrai, Nami, new, Hoksiv Toras. It says that there does seem to be a dispensation to drink more than once. So how can you say, seemingly under no circumstances, does the woman drink twice? So Mar will explain the first and third opinion, the two different opinions of the Chacham, the Tanakama Chacham, and the Chacham Basra, the third opinion, the following way. Omer Rava, Rava tells us, Be'ish echad ubo al echad, with one husband and one adulterer, everybody agrees. Dekuliyama lo plige de ein ha'isha shosa vishoda. Everybody agrees. Even the most lenient opinion, the first Chacham, the Tanakama, even they agree that if it's the same husband with the same guy, Yanko, so then He can make her drink once, but once she drinks once, she'll never have to drink again with that husband, with Yanko. That's true. And we turn to Yotesim and Aleph. And this is based upon the Miyot, the Siv Zos. It says Zos, which is a Miyot. Only this and nothing else. And everybody agrees, Vishnei Anoshim, Ushnei Boalim, with two different husbands and two different people. So husband number one did it with Yanko, and husband number two accuses her of being alone with Yitzchak. And in that situation, everybody agrees, including the Chachamim Basrai, the Kuliyama lo pligi the isha shosa bishona. Everybody agrees in that situation that you can drink more than once. Oh, no problem, because tichsiv toras, plural, the lashon of toras hakinos. So therefore, it's a plural lashon. Now, where did the Tanakama and the Chachamim Basroi argue? Ki pligi with one person, bishachad, with one husband, ushnei boalin. And the husband accuses her first with Yankel, and then later on he accuses her with Yitzchak. She'd already drank with Yankel, and now 2 years later he accuses her of Yitzchak. So in that situation, that's where the machlok is between the Tanakama, who says, yes, she drinks, and the Chacham Basori say, no, she doesn't drink the second time. And likewise, Bishnei Anoshim, where it's two people, Ubo Alecha. It's two different husbands. You have the first husband, second husband, and they both accuse her of Yankel. So in this situation, the Tanakama Savar Toras Lirabuye, Kuli. Tanakama says that the word Toras Kinos, Hakinos, comes to be Marbe, both of these scenarios, whether it's one husband and two adulterers, or if it's two husbands and one adulterer. So in this situation, there is a din of her drinking, of in fact, having to drink more than once. Shosa Vishona. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. However, Zos, the word Zos, is Lemute, is according to the Tanakhama, only coming to exclude the case of Ishech or Bolachai, when it's one husband with Yanko. So he does it once and can't drink a second time, can't make her drink a second time. The Rabban and Basrai, they say no. The default position is Zos, Savri Zos, Lemute Kule. Under normal circumstances, you can only drink one time. It does say Toras Hakinos. What is that for? Toras Lirabos, the one scenario that you're coming to be Marbe is Lirabuye, Shnei Anoshim, Ushnei Bolim. When you have husband number one with Yanko and husband number two with Yitzchak. In that situation, she will drink twice. So we understand now the Tanakama, we understand the Chacham and Basrai, and the only thing we have left to explain is the middle sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, under certain circumstances, yes, under certain circumstances, no. More so than the Tanakama, less so than the Chacham and Basrai. Why is that? Rabbi Yehuda, Zos lima ute tarte. He says the word Zos comes to exclude two things. What two cases? We'll see in a second. And Toras, Kahakinos, is Larabos tarte. It's coming to include two cases in the drinking twice. So, first, Zos is lamaute tarte. The word Zos is coming to exclude two scenarios where the woman will not have to drink twice. What are the scenarios? Ish echod bol echod. That's just like, in fact, the Tanakhama agrees as well, that one husband with Yanko doesn't make her drink twice. So, to Rabbi Yehuda agrees with that. But he also, from the word Zos, is mamayet ish echod ushne bolim. One husband with Yitzchak and Yanko. So, when one husband tells her, I want you not to close this up with Yanko. And she does. And she drinks. And she's clean. So he doesn't have the right to go and then accuse her with another person, Yitzchak. So that's what Yehuda holds. The word Zos comes to be Mamayit. And the words of Toras, the Zos Toras HaKinoos, the Ribui, is Larabui Tarte, is also to do two. Like we said, now, we have it out of order here. The one that we had already said was Shnei Anoshim Ushnei Bolin. We'll get to that in a moment. That everybody agrees to, that two husbands, two different husbands with two different men, everybody agrees that that's what the ribuy is of Toras HaKinoos. But also, the first thing that we bring here in the Gemara, Shnei Anoshim, with two different husbands, Ubo Alechot, with the same Yanko. So husband number one says, I don't want you to class with the Yanko. She does, she drinks, and she's clean. So then husband number two has the right, as well according to Rabbi Yehuda, to go and say, listen, I don't want you to close this up with Yanko, and she does, she has to drink then as well. And of course, in the case of Shnei Anoshim, Shnei Bolim, with two husbands and two different people, two different potential adulterers, so certainly in both of those cases, Rabbi Yehuda would hold, because of the word Toras HaKinoos, that she would have to drink twice. With that, we conclude this beautiful parak in today's shir. Hadron Alecha Hayom Mevi, Hadron Alecha Hayom Mevi, Hadron Alecha Hayom Mevi. And Mi Yetz Hashem, tomorrow we start the third parak. What a beautiful Masechta, Masechta Sota. I want to wish everybody a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. You may be listening to this after Pesach already, but I want to make sure that my thoughts are with you, all my Tamidim, and everybody that listens to this shiur. We should all be Zocha to continue to learn together, and B'ez Hashem finish, and be Messiah many, many Masechtos and Siddurim, and B'ez Hashem Shas many, many times. Chag Kosher V'Sameach.